G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. It's so often the shift from religion to faith. You know, there's lots of people who are religious in our world and they dress certain ways and do certain things and eat certain foods. The Christian life is so free and so full. It's the journey to freedom. It's the journey to unpack who we really are. That's what I like. It's like God has uniquely created, 10 billion people. I don't know how many people have ever lived. 7 right now on the planet, but I've got no idea, you know, how many people lived before that, but 10 plus billion people, 15, I don't know. But how many different personalities and people did he create? And somehow religion tries to conform us and squash us out, but actually Christianity brings life. It makes us who we really are. Brings out our personalities and our vibrancy and our life. Rosemary, you, full of life and vibrant at the back. You see? Because you found something here. The future is bright, Rosemary. I know they're lining up two Rosemaries here. I'm talking to Rosemary in the very back. There's life coming, Rosemary. You hang in there. You know, just I love the journey of faith. I tried to be religious when I was younger, and it didn't work, actually. It just left me empty, and it left me full of fear and doubt and insecurities. But when I actually found Jesus, something came alive on the inside that had energy, and it had optimism, and it made me something rather than a cynic, because that's where I was heading. You don't want to be cynical. Anyway, I'm not preaching about that. I'm talking about specific breakthrough. We're on a journey of breakthrough, and I love James. Thanks for sharing your word. And Bev, thanks for leading us so well. It's exciting. A little while ago, I was in a motel room in Sydney, and I was just working away at night, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, write this down. And I just grabbed whatever pad that I could, you know, just got to write it down. I've still got this little bit of paper. And the Lord said to me, he said, do a mid-year sprint. I said, what? You mean me and I got to get out in the middle of July and run? And I realized, you know, talking about in business terms, you have sprints, you know, 90-day sprint. You focus on something and you change it. What quarter? What are you going to focus on for this quarter, etc.? And it was like that idea that if I could focus in and shift something in 1 month, what would it be? He said, pick one thing to shift and throw everything at it. Like, is it an attitude or a circumstance or a health problem or something? What if I could zone in heaven's resources onto that thing and change something? See, this is when our faith comes to life. It's no longer just conformity to a pattern of behavior, but it's actually applying the Holy Spirit of God inside of us and seeing change around us. That's the difference. So I wrote this down, and you know, we're doing a 2-month series on breakthrough. We're almost finished the first month. We've been talking about the spirit of breakthrough, getting on the front foot. When I almost killed somebody in cricket ball here in the front row, I'll use a tennis ball next time. Sorry, whoever that was. But like getting on the front foot of our Christian faith, you know, not waiting, not sort of cowering, but aggressively taking our faith to our world, including our world, you know. And we talk about the battle inside. Sometimes the greatest battle to overcome is the self-image, the self-perception. Oh, I'm not very good. I'm not worthy. I'm just fill in the blanks, you know. And the Holy Spirit says, God exists, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. In Hebrews, He really does exist, and He really does reward the seekers. That means you and I. It means those miracles we read about in the scriptures and the things we see happening in other countries. Well, I love what Pastor Phil's prophesying. Let's see it in our nation, in our day, in our time. And Pastor Mill last week, brilliant message on the realm of faith and risk. And grab the podcast if you missed any of that, because it'll just help you with the background of this. We're building somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're going into August. We're going into a season of prayer and fasting. And if you've never fasted before, don't panic. It won't kill you. It's actually really fun. It's really fun when we get together. And you know, I'll teach you next week how to do that. Start small and make it achievable. But something happens when we kind of switch off some of the things. Again, as Pastor Phil's mentioning, you know, the things that we consume our world with, if we could just stop those things for a little while and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying, we can actually start to see real change. So that's where we're up to. But what about you and me now? What specifically do we want to see breakthrough in? And the religious answer says, oh, whatever God wants. Oh, whatever he wants, you know. But actually, the things that God shifts are the things that we bring him to shift. Like the paralytics. He was brought by four friends to Jesus. If he wasn't brought there, he would still be paralyzed or probably dead by now. Definitely dead by now. Like you see in the scriptures, it's the people who bring their things to Jesus who see something change. We don't actually hear about the people who don't bring their stuff to Jesus. Like we've all got stuff. Let's bring them to Jesus specifically for breakthrough. I've been reading the story of Dr. Reverend David Yonggi Cho. I think his title is leader of probably the biggest church in the world still. I don't know the stats. It's just big. Let's just call it big. In South Korea, if you've ever seen 15,000, 20,000 people together in multiple services, it's a phenomenal church, a phenomenal move of God. But before that ever happened, David Yonggi Cho was a very poor man in a very backward country, South Korea, believe it or not, back in the 70s, wasn't what it is now. And he would pray. And he said, if only, he's trying to start a church. He said, if only I had a desk and a chair and a bicycle, I'd be all good. I could do what I feel like you've called me to do, God. And so he prays for a desk and a chair and a bicycle. But nothing happens. And he complains to God. He says, God, why do I never see things happen? And he quotes this, he says, the Spirit then said, yes, that is the trouble with you. And with all my children, they beg me, demanding every kind of request, but they ask in such vague terms that I can't answer. You must ask definitely and specifically. Isn't that awesome? So he started, he says, well, right. I'm a mahogany desk. And he maps out the dimensions and the materials and this is a chair, and he said, I want a chair with wheels on it so I can push myself around the office like someone important. He said, his self-confessions in his book. And then I want a bicycle. He said, I want an American-made bicycle with gears on the side so I can moderate the speed that I go. It's kind of cute reading back. But do you know what? God answered every one of those prayers. And in one of his books, he charts the journey of just receiving the confirmation of that and praying after, and then actually receiving that. And God taught him how to pray specific breakthrough prayers, things that would actually change things, not just vague, help me God kind of prayers, or I need kind of help in this thing. But I said, well, what do you want? Now we don't like that, do we, us religious folk? Because we all go, oh, well, you know my needs, God. And I'm a very humble person, so I'll just make do with whatever you've got. That's part of the Australian in us. You know, we just make do. She'll be right. It's our saying. She'll be right. Every country, every culture, you know, has a saying like that. In Thailand, it was mai pen rai. Like, don't worry about it. No, it's fine. Just cope. But because you don't just have to cope in life. Thrive in life. So I want to share with you a few ideas. What's it going to be for you? And I'm fully expecting you at the end of today to have some idea something to pursue. Even if it's just for the fun of it. Like, even if it's just to go, well, dream that what if question. Is it the natural order of things? It's where miracles of nature change the natural order of things. Like, we live in a world of order and structure. God created it that way. You know, we have seasons and days and months, and, you know, we like that. It's good. Gravity works most of the time. You know, the things that we kind of trust in are good, right? But God is actually on top of all that. He made it, so therefore he can change it. And many times in scriptures, for example, this one, Matthew 21:21, Jesus said to them, truly I say, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. It's a funny story, but Jesus was hungry as he's walking along, and this fig tree didn't have any figs on it. So he says, you'll never bear fruit again, fig tree. There's deeper imagery he's talking about, all of other stuff, Israel, etc. But this fig tree just withers. And they walk past the next thing and go, oh my goodness, he's right. But like, he just changed the natural order of things. Mountains to move, like sun that stood still in the scriptures. Miracles of multiplication. You can't get that out of that, but it did consistently. Oil and jars and bread and fish. You know the stories. You know when Jesus calmed the storm, he says, wind, be still. That's enough wind. Like, Jesus can step into the natural order of things and change them. Is that something that you need to shift in your world? Is that something that you go, oh, I wish, oh, but, you know, it doesn't work like that. Let God challenge your thinking. Maybe it can. What if? Are they miracles of wisdom? Secondly, I think these are the greatest miracles of them all. Have you ever thought, how do I do this? Or I don't know what to do now. Or what do I do next? You've reached a point in your life or your job or your family or something and you go, I'm out of ideas. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do now. Well, the book of James says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable. See, God says, if you need wisdom, if you need advice, all you got to do is ask. Maybe that could be the breakthrough you need. Just need to know next, what's my next career move? What do I do after I finish uni? School? You know, what's my next for my family? What's my next for my, you know, I need help on how to have this relationship, something. Do you know you can just ask? It's a miracle. God will give you wisdom. Most of us are not that smart. We just ask. It's my journey. Just, what do I do, God? Maybe that's the breakthrough you need. Or maybe it's a miracle of healing, like physical, literal healing. This woman in Matthew 9, suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak as Jesus was walking past. And she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. It happened. She just reached out. She was too afraid even to actually call Jesus' attention. Said, Jesus, heal me. She just said, look, I've only just got the faith to touch him. I reckon that's how it worked. I don't think she had the faith to go, oh, Jesus, like the blind guy I talked about the other day. You know, Bartimaeus is waving up and down. Jesus, go here. I think this woman was just too smashed, too broken to really interrupt Jesus. You see what? If I could just, I reckon, boom, power goes out of Jesus. And he knows that. She freaks out, but she's healed. Is that you? Is there something in your world, your physical body, your emotional world, your mental well-being, your just something about you that you think that'll never change, but If I just reached out and touched Jesus, what kind of breakthrough could happen that could shift something? And people look at you and go, wow. Wow. Imagine the stories that could be generated. See, this is the word of God, and it wasn't just then, it's now. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not changed. Is it a ministry calling or a life purpose? Is that the miracle you're after? You got some call, some desire, something to do something. Are you not really sure what that means? Or but we wouldn't have a clue of how to get there. But people in the scriptures just ask God to fulfill that part of them, which is called a call. The old word is vocation. What's my purpose in life for? It's not just our job. Sometimes our job fulfills a vocation, not always. Sometimes a job is just a means to an end. But there's some workplaces that we go, I'm singing now. I'm in my zone. This is not just a means to get money. This is, man, I have a purpose and a vocation in this job, if that makes sense. What is that for you? And it looks impossible, but Isaiah, I love the story of Isaiah's call. He was in the presence of God. He was in a prayer zone somehow, and God touched his lips, and he heard the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit talking. And they're whispering. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who's that? And Isaiah hears. He goes, I'll go. I'll do it. Crazy. Isaiah, did you have any idea what you're saying? It's a trick. You get into the presence of God, you think you can do anything, and you put your hand up. God goes, right, got you. And then he sends you. I'm just kidding. Half. But you wouldn't want it any other way when you're in that zone. It's like people who get sent to strange countries, you know. How did you end up there? Well, I just dared to ask. But God gives you the desire for the things that you go to. I have a friend who just went to the Philippines, kind of unwillingly, in this city. Just big Filipino city, you know. Yeah, it's hard. She's going, yeah, feel the call, but there's a challenge. There's a battle there, but you know what? I'm going to do it. Good on her. She's gone there with the three girls. I love that journey of faith. You just put yourself and you go, yes. So here's this. I'm just throwing things out there. Not so much preaching, but just stirring you, urging you on. What kinds of things would you dare to believe God for? And these are good things, you know. So two more things before I finish. One is why. Why would God want to answer your prayer? I ask myself that a lot. There's a beautiful verse in John 14. It's right where Jesus is kind of finishing off his time on earth, and he's talking to his close friends, the disciples. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Like all the things that Jesus has done, he's saying, if you believe, you also do these things. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. That's a freaky verse. And the reason is that Jesus is going back to sit at the right hand of God the Father, the place of power, 2IC of the universe. And he says, I'm going to see that prayers are answered because I want my Father to be glorified. He's loyal to his Father. So you can imagine, you know, Jesus sitting there, he's kind of looking out at spots of faith along the earth, little flashes of light. And he goes, oh, hey, Dad. How about this one? I reckon it's like that. It's like he's looking for faith. You've flown over a city, you've flown over millions of people. You know, I wonder how many people are praying over that right now. Ever wondered that? We've driven into a town. I wonder how many people right now are praying. And I bet that God is just, oh, there's one. Let's answer that. Oh, there's one. I don't know. My imagination goes crazy. But you just, like, if I was Jesus, like, oh, that's a great prayer. Good, you know. So Jesus wants to honor his Father through answered prayer. How? I'm going to end with this. Four things. How? How do we actually pray specific breakthrough prayers? First one is to delight in God, not in the thing you're looking for. Maybe it's a new house. That's a lovely thing to delight in, but delight in God above that. Seek God above all things. In Psalm 37, it says, just delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What a great scripture. Delight yourself in God. That means just enjoy his presence. Enjoy being with him. Prayer is a beautiful thing. Being in worship together, so lovely this morning. Delight yourself in God and then he will give you the desires of your heart because your desires start to align with his desires. That's how it works. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. You just get so caught up in Jesus that the things that you want are what he wants. He answers those prayers. And we kind of downplay all the extravagant ones, but I think he's into our welfare more than we think he is. We're his sons and daughters. What father or mother doesn't really want the best for their children? Really? For those of you who are not parents, you know, when I got to that point, I thought, wow, I get that. I really do want good things for my kids. Therefore, I'm made an image of God. God is my father. Therefore, that's how he feels about me. It's good. To delight yourself in God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Spend time in prayer and worship. Number two, I love this. This could change you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world. It means don't think after the patterns or the ideology of our world. Don't give yourself, understand it, yeah, but you know, because the world's thinking is limited. A lot of people think that the world is finite, which is all we've got. So therefore, let's save the planet. But who made the world like that? Out of what? Out of nothing? Like we humans are such limited, or we're limited in time. Think, well, I'm just got 80 years, and then I'm. You know, we can't think really beyond limitation. That's the thinking of our world. It's limitation, but that's not God's thinking. It says, just be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Be occupied in the thoughts of God, the way that he works. So when he made the earth, he didn't just make the earth and fake the stars. Although I reckon I might have done that. Like, would we ever really know? Go with me for a second. Like, there are a billion galaxies. There are a billion stars in each galaxy. Why? Show off. Like, God's creation is vast. It's vastly excessive. It's ridiculous. I mean, really? Like, anyway, you think of the numbers of beetles on the planet. Like there's millions. I would just made a couple. Really? A few beetles, a few. But like God has made things that we've never even seen. Like microscopic things that you can only see with big things, you know. Like you can think of the Amazon. I mean, you just start to think of the creativity of God. Like the amount of animals and plants and trees and things that we'll never even notice. God's made them. So anyway, be occupied by that. That's the way that God thinks. And we think limited. I've only got this many years or this much money or this much. But because there's no, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you start to get into the realm of God, which is way bigger than what we are. So delight yourself in God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Three, get the yes on the inside. Get the deposit of faith. Now, this is important. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Okay, you know, what was that? Look at this. It's a substance. It's a thing. Faith is a thing. You can feel it. You can touch it. You know when you've got it. Right? It's not a nothing. It's a thing. It feels, it does something, it moves things. It's evidence of things you can't see. When you know something in faith, you can stand on that thing and jump up and down like a branch that's sticking over a ledge. You go, I've got this. In the natural visibility, I can't see it, but I know that that thing is real. It's like God, I can't prove God to you. Tell you what though, he's real because I know it. That's about it. So when we pray for things in the presence of God, in the expanse of his universe, you actually conceive things. It's like pregnancy, apparently. Because I've never been pregnant and don't intend on it. But I've seen it close up. And skip a few processes. But you receive the promise on the inside, right? You receive. Apparently, you know when you're pregnant. But to the outside eye, what I'm saying is that you receive something by faith. And it may take some gestation and some growing, but eventually that thing will come to pass. But it doesn't mean that thing is not real if you can't see it. But you've got to get that yes on the inside. Then you start speaking it, number four, until you see it. Spirit of faith is prophecy. You believe it, you'll speak it. And this happens all the time. You know, people boast about their sporting teams, you know, like Springboks or something. Avoid the South Africans. That will speak. We've got the greatest team. Yeah, really? Yeah, really. You know, people, they're so confident of what they've got, but they don't really have it, but they're confident about it, that they'll speak it. Right? The sporting is a bad example for Australia right now. But there's other things, you know. Oh, this is the greatest thing. Really? But yes, it is, because they're speaking. So speak it. And the thing is that God, in Romans 4:17, God gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. That's what God does. He gives life to the things that are completely dead. We saw that in the scriptures. Jesus raised from the dead. Lazarus raised from the dead. Widow of Nain raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter, raised from the dead. He really does. And he gives life and calls into being that which does not exist. He speaks it into being. He created the universe by what? The word of his mouth. Let there be light, a mighty big light. You see, God speaks and he creates. He's so convinced, this is Hebrews 11 again, he's so convinced about what he's about to create that he speaks it, because he knows that when he speaks, it'll create. We're made in God's image. Our words have power. When we've got the substance of faith on the inside of us, we can see those things come to pass in reality. That's prophecy. This is all working together this morning. You and I are going to see specific breakthrough in our world, in our friends. It's those things, James, again, you're talking about it this morning. Those friends, how can this person come to faith in Christ? This person, my friend, is so far, doesn't even want to talk about it. I'm telling you what, God is not too powerful, unpowerful to save. God is there. He's real. We can see things come to faith. Let me challenge you. Face some things, to stare some things down. Same word that God challenged me. What would it be like if pick one thing to shift and throw everything at it? Could even be your own personal habits and things that you think, oh, this doesn't ever shift. What if? What if it could?
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.